Happy to chat this morning to Dr. Carl. We haven't spoken with him for a while. It just hasn't been the same. Dr. Carl, how are you?
Off trying to fight the forces of ignorance and darkness and having a good time.
Are you winning?
We will make the world a better place. So I did my very first story on climate change in 1981. And in fact, that was after the insurance companies agreed that climate change was real, and the fossil fuel companies agreed it was real in 1982. And so I've been trying to make the world a better place by getting to admit it. They did admit it until 1990, the fossil fuel companies, and they started lying. And now we've got this terrible situation. But we can make it better.
Yes,
six
exactly.
Words, keep fossil carbon in the ground. Okay, where should we go now, Dr. Howard?
Right, now let's talk about a brain scan of one cubic millimeter.
Yeah, now people on one hand will say, gee, the brain is so easy to understand. And you go to these inspirational talks and they'll say all sorts of rubbish about the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And having studied a little bit of neuroanatomy, I know just how much we don't know. And on this particular occasion, the scientist said, let's just actually see what is there. And in the whole brain, impossible. So they went to a mouse brain and got a bit of brain smaller than a grain of sand. Now, that's pretty small.
It is.
And it took them 7 years to analyze it properly. What they did, they got something that was smaller than a grain of sand, and they sliced it into 25,000 slices. And then, using electron microscopes, scanned each and every layer and gave everything that they found a different color. And they had to have a computer to look after it. And they found that if you think about a transistor as a thinking element in a computer, well, we have our own thinking elements in our brains called nerves. And in this tiny fragment of a mouse brain, they found 200,000 thinking elements joined by 4 kilometers of nerve. But they found one other great difference. In the computer, each transistor or thinking element will join to two other thinking elements and make a decision.
Right.
But in a human brain, it's 1,500.
Wow.
So when you're thinking about, will I walk out the door with my left foot first or my right foot first? You're not even thinking about that, but the decision is being made, and there's millions of nerves involved in thinking about that, and each one is accepting inputs from 1,500 other nerves, like, is it wet today? What shoes are you wearing? Is there any leaf?
And we don't even know we're thinking that. That's just happening at such a speed that we have. We can't even be conscious of that.
That's right. And so this is the sort of problem where a good neural network, which is part of the whole artificial intelligence thing, can help us work out what's going on. At the moment, we've got no idea why your favorite color is white and my favorite color is hot pink, or vice versa. And we're no closer to that, having done that experiment on a mouse brain. But given enough time and enough thinking about it, we'll probably get to the stage where we maybe get a little bit closer, but not much.
You know, it's so interesting because on another level, I often find that we experience something and then we feel something, and we might not even understand ourselves, and so we try and rationalize it, but don't always get it right. And it sounds very, very esoteric, but it isn't. On a most basic level, I was speaking to somebody the other day who had a really, really insanely busy day. They didn't have a chance to stop for a second and eat, and they were feeling very, very emotional by the end of the day, and were coming up with all sorts of reasons that they were. But in the meantime, they were exhausted and hungry and all of these other things. And I thought to myself, and I even said to them, why are you trying to find reasons? You're just feeling all of this stuff. It doesn't mean that you need to try and find a rational, logical reason. And it was interesting to see it from the outside. No doubt I do the same. But we think we know ourselves, and we really, really don't.
No, I had it happen just this morning. I went into the kitchen. No, I went from the kitchen to upstairs, and as I walked into the upstairs study, I thought, why am I here? Why did I do that? And this has been happening all my life. And that is something wired into us from millions of years ago when we started evolving from chimpanzee-type bonobo creatures into humans, which took us about 6 million years. And along the way, we evolved into being able to walk on our back legs so we could go out onto the plains. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, there was a big problem. So when you're hanging around in the jungle, it's fairly straightforward. Look out for the gorillas, look out for the chimpanzees, look out for these guys that live there. But when you go out onto the plain, the savannah, and you walk out of the jungle, because you've got two legs and you can walk, as opposed to walking on all fours, suddenly you don't need to think about what's hanging from the trees. You want to forget the past and then look for maybe a jackal or a lion hiding in the grass. And so we are wired into that so that when you change environments, you forget stuff. And so it's perfectly normal that when you go through a doorway, this wiring kicks in from up to 6 million years ago. And the way they found this out was they did some rather silly experiments with some stupid objects. So think about geometrical shapes like a square, like a cube and a pyramid and an octahedron and a circle. And think of them made from different materials like plastic or wood or rubber. And think of them in all different colours. So you can't remember what they are. So what people had to do, they had a backpack, was that they'd go to a table and they'd pick up one of 50-odd objects, like a yellow plastic pyramid, and put it in their backpack. And then they'd take a few steps and then recite what they had in their backpack and take it out. So if they just walked from one table to another in the same room, they could do it. But if they walked from one table out of the room, did a loop and came back to the same table, they couldn't. Well, it was because they crossed the environment. So in my case, whenever I go into the kitchen, I think, why am I in the kitchen? That's easy. Just go back and then remember what you're doing and think, okay, I came to the kitchen to get a cup of tea. Right. Okay, now I remember. So the human brain, it's really difficult to understand.
It's so funny because when I'm traveling, when I'm overseas and I try to recall a number locally that I know so well, I struggle to recall that number.
I've got a trick for that.
Yes.
So one problem when you're traveling is if you're staying in hotels, each hotel is different. And so overwhelmingly, you have a poor night's sleep on the first night.
It's true. Absolutely.
So what I do, and there's been studies where they've followed people through, is I have joined up a couple of hotel chains. And then you get the discount, and you also get the rooms being the same.
Ah, so it becomes much more familiar.
Yeah, yeah. So you check into the hotel, and on the first night, you have a good night's sleep instead of not. So there's all these tricks that you can do to get around this crazy, complicated world around us.